Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and welcome to our live radio broadcast here on The Watchman. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Omega Radio Network. And that is the voice of many waters from Pastor Ted Marshall in our morning programs and Bob Hagen from the Virginia area. And of course, Glenda Lomax from the Arkansas area and Jake McCandless from Arkansas and Christopher Manti from Philadelphia, and on goes the list. Patricia Joy Xavier, Jay Seculo, Rick Wiles with True News, and we have more on the way with Daniel Seckham, Pastor Ken Wagner. We are really ready to launch this year into the deep. And we believe that through the Omega Radio Network, that there is going to be a great catch of men's souls that will be brought into the kingdom of God. And that is one of the missions of this Omega Radio Network. And we're so glad every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, we have the opportunity to continue to preach the gospel and to prepare the saints. Not only are we reaching out to win the souls of men, to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, but also to awaken the ecclesia, to wake up men and women of faith everywhere around the world to the reality of the times that we are living in. And though there seem to be delays and things don't seem to work out at times the way that we think they will in their timing, we know that God is in control, and he's told us to continue to prepare and to awaken and to shout out to the ends of the earth the days that we are living in. And I thought this was interesting. This was written by one of our hosts here on the Omega Radio Network, Glenda Lomax, and she received a word from the Lord, and it was called The Lull Before the Storm. And I hesitated because throughout the years of prophesying, many times when we thought things were going to be working in a particular direction, it was only met with delay. And the Word of God says that, about hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? Well, thank God for the delay. Thank God that we've had all this time to continue to work out our salvation, to see our families grow and prosper and get saved. Thank God that we have been able to enjoy another day of life on planet Earth in the United States of America without the devastating impact of prophetic words being fulfilled. Thank God for every moment that passes that we are not, you know, experiencing the devastating reality that is sure to come has been a gift from God. It is, life is a gift. But I thought to myself, well, let's read this. And it is the lull before the storm. Praise God. You are in the lull before the storm. The tempest is rising, and soon there will be much upheaval in the nation of America, and it will spread to other nations from there. The enemy has gained access to your economy and will deal a harsh blow to it. Some industries will be affected catastrophically. A few industries will show a false rise, which will quickly crash. Overall, your economy will suffer long term. Prepare, my children, for the storm is upon you, and in this storm are other storms you cannot escape. The end has begun, and all that has been foretold in my holy word will shortly follow as the end of all things plays out before you. Cling to me, cling to my word, cling to your faith, for many will try to strip you of it, and it is by your faith that you are saved. Soon you will be with me in your eternal home. So that is the brief admonition once again about the coming collapse of the economy and the storms that will continue to rage upon this nation. And I was talking with another dear friend of ours today from Texas, and just out of nowhere, she said, "This is the time for everybody to get out of debt." And boy, those words rang so loudly. We believe that with all of our hearts, and I hope you're laboring to get out of debt, that you'll owe no man anything but to love one another. Because when the economic collapse comes, if you're in debt, most likely it'll be a stranglehold over your life. They will take more control. I mean, you'll be indebted. Because why? The borrower is always the slave to the lender, according to the word of God. So I'm trusting, I'm going to trust, and I want you to trust with me, that regardless what happens moment to moment, day by day, that tomorrow night at the setting of the sun, we begin Passover. And Passover is all about coming out of the house of bondage. And if there is ever a time for God's people to come out of the house of bondage, to come out of debt, and debt is bondage, well, what a season to proclaim. And I'm going to give you a secret. Whether you do it or not is entirely up to you. But biblically, I have done this. I have followed this pattern for years in the Feast of the Lord. Remember that during the Feast of Passover is a time to give your first fruits offering to the Lord. And that is an offering that is very special to God, that literally sets the pace for the rest of the year in the agricultural economy of God in the Feast of the Lord. And God wrote it in his word. He required of it that there would be a first fruits offering. And if you're in financial debt, the thing you can do is to sow a seed known as the first fruits in the Feast of Passover and unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, which is all connected in this first feast, and take that seed and sow it, and I believe it will be a supernatural blessing to begin the eradication of your debt and to bring you out of the house of bondage. How much debt are you in? How much do you owe to this world system? Well, sow a seed accordingly, and let the Lord take care of the rest. But this is what he's asked for. We're not going to go into detail over all of that because most of you have already heard. You understand. You know that tithes and offerings belong to the Lord. Before there was ever a law of tithing and giving offerings, before the law, the tithe and the offering already existed because Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek before there was a law. And Cain and Abel were offering their offerings before there was ever a law. And so with the Sabbath rest, and so many other things that were just preserved within the law. And then when the law was fulfilled and Christ came forward in the kingdom, those special things that belong to God at the beginning are showing up at the end. It's a kingdom way of life. It's a principle that you should not miss out on, and it should be anything but religious, but full of faith. I'm telling you, if you want to have part in the economy of God when the economies of the world are crashing, then follow God's prescribed way of doing things and make sure that you have a church that you're tithing to, where the Word of God is being presented, where it's got good, rich soil in it, because God has worked that soil in preparation for that seed to be sown. Make sure that you understand the feast of the Lord and that you can participate in the feast of the Lord as a new covenant believer and experience the blessings of the intrinsic value of those feasts of the Lord. So we're being foretold of what's coming. But I want you to know, when all the nations of the earth shake, you have been positioned on a foundation that cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God is your reality. And as you operate in the principles of the kingdom, you will see the prosperity of God in spite of what is going on in the world. One of our favorite scriptures is that in the time of famine, you shall have plenty. And those of you who have honored the Lord with your tithes and your offerings, you will see the result of what we're talking about. And so let us believe this year, tomorrow night when the sun sets and we remember and we go back to the memorial stones of what has been accomplished for us, we will begin to experience this liberty, this coming out of the house of bondage. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. Wherever the bondage has been, you just haven't been liberated. You haven't been walking in the victory. You haven't been walking in freedom. Maybe it's just in your own personal health, and you've just been, you know, just in the winter season of doing nothing. Well, now it's time to get ready, because not only is the Passover beginning tomorrow night at the setting of the sun, but you know and I know that the resurrection is what follows. Hallelujah. You cannot have a resurrection without a crucifixion. And we're going to talk much more about the resurrection as we go, because the resurrection is not just a future hope. It is something that should be taking place in our lives right now as men and women who have been born again. In fact, in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about the out-resurrection among the spiritually dead. He's not talking about a physical resurrection that'll happen at the second coming of Christ, but he wanted to be a partaker of the resurrection power, living like Jesus did. Jesus was a life-giving, and he moved upon and among the spiritually dead humanity of his day. And you know and I know, walk out the front door of your house and look to the left and right, and your neighbors behind you and before you, and the spiritually dead are all around us. But we can be living as those who have been born again, those who have been made alive, quickened, raised from the spiritual death, and we could be operating in the full power and anointing of a resurrected life who are now living, and we can be impacting the society around us like Jesus did when he was on the earth as a life-giving spirit. You who are born again, who have the Holy Spirit and understand the covenants and are walking in the newness of life, you are a life-giving spirit, and you can actually give life to the spiritually dead through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify God. You can have savor in your salt. And that's one of the prayers we've been praying lately, is that savor will be in the salt of every one of us. Because you know and I know that when the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. And we are the salt of the earth. And so if we lose our savor, we're good for nothing. And I know that there's a great trampling coming from the powers of darkness in the great tribulation, because many in the kingdom of God, many believers have lost their vitality. They have lost their salt. They have lost their savor, if you will. And so we're praying that God will restore the savor of our saltiness, that we'll be more salty than we've ever been before, and that we'll have more oil so that we can let our lights continue to burn brightly and shine in the midst of this growing darkness that is coming upon and has descended upon the nations of the earth. So again, we have a lot of conversation here, but I want you to pray, and I want you to set aside an offering for the Lord tomorrow night, wherever you're going to be celebrating with the congregation of God, your Seder meal, your time of celebrating, remembering the Passover in honor of our root, the Judeo root of our lives, the heritage of the Hebrew, Israeli, Jewish reality that is sanctified in Jesus Christ. We're going to remember them, and we're going to honor that, and we're going to honor God's word and all these things. But your job is to set apart something that is of great value, the first fruits offering that you are going to present to the Lord is, yes, you're going to give it to the ministry that God has brought you to. Yes, the pastors are going to receive that. Yes, that's the way God has designed things to be. And so, but you're giving this to the Lord and you're reaching in to something of value and you're bringing it out as a handful. That's what they would do. They would bring out the handful, the first fruits, and they would present that to the Lord. The priest would receive it. They would wave it before the Lord in a wave offering. And this would be how the Israelis knew that God was going to bless the year ahead, because he would send rain to their fields and their fields would produce crops and the harvest for that year would be abundant. And that's the way it works. And we're not just talking about external materialistic things here. We're talking about also the spiritual growth, the being conformed into his image, the root in our spirit, the good soil of our heart, where that seed, which is Christ, has been sown, so that more of his divine nature, more of his character, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit will abound in our lives. Yes, we're not just under the Old Testament of natural things that are outward, but we are connected to spirit, soul, and body things. And while we want to see growth in our finances, growth in our relationships, growth in our health, we want to see growth in everything. We want to see God's blessing, but we also want to see growth in our spiritual walk as well. And this is what is afforded in the new covenant. It touches every area of our lives. So I'm going to encourage you to set apart something. Pray about it. Spend a moment in prayer and say, God, this is your Passover. I want to bring an offering to you that is going to bring a blessing and a smile on your face. I want to bring this offering. I want to lay it at the feet of the apostles or the ministry that I belong to, but I'm giving it to you as my first fruits offering, and I want it waved before you so that the year ahead, you're going to send rain to everything that I have sown, to all of the seeds that I have sown in service of the kingdom, whether it was the tithe or whatever it was, my giving to other people. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, to send rain and bless my crop this year. Bless my life this year. And this may sound a little foreign and unfamiliar to a lot of people because, quite frankly, the devil has done a great job in robbing the church from the reality and the vitality of celebrating the feast of the Lord and understanding the principles. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. You can understand and grow in knowledge on these things. Now, here in Northwest Arkansas, we are going to be celebrating the feast of Passover with a Seder meal Friday night. And Marissa is going to be leading this. She's got some very good understanding of the Hebraic roots, and we're going to be bringing our tallits, and we're going to be, you know, dressing up in honor of where we've come from. We're not going to cast away Israel. God forbid. We are going to honor our brothers and sisters in the Abrahamic covenant, the natural seed of Abraham. We know where we've come out of. We know Christ came out of. And so we're going to honor them in celebrating this Seder. We're going to remember what God has done for us, the fulfillment of the Lamb of God. And then we're going to proceed all week with different gatherings, and we're going to have different speakers, and we're going to celebrate. And it is all very organic. It's not organized and structured. It's just going to have to just outgrow. And we'll see what God will do. But I am excited. I am thanking God and looking forward to this new beginning this year. And if your life is in a mess, well, now is the time to see God turn it into a message. And this is the year in the economy of God that we begin. So praise the Lord. Make sure you get the very best of the best. This first fruits offering is the chiefest. If you go back into Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, you'll see that this is the chiefest, the beginning, the first fruits. I mean, this sets the stage for everything to come. And here's the glory of the feast. We go from the glory of Passover to the glory of Pentecost to the glory of Tabernacles. And there should be development. There should be increase. There should be expansion. There should be growth and harvest. And you should begin to see within the first 50 days, which is the counting of the Omer, your first fruits harvest in the summertime, of which we call Shavuot or the Feast of Wheat. There are all kinds of Feast of Weeks. So a lot of teaching here that we've been teaching for nearly 30 years. A lot of intrinsic, valuable teaching, and we can get into that at any time. But I want to encourage you, look through all that God has given you in the year past and reach in and bring forth that first fruits offering. You won't be disappointed. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 5 today, And I want to read a very quick passage because I believe that God has done something, and I believe he did it yesterday when we read the verses out of the Gospel of John, "Behold the Lamb of God." I believe there is a revelation. I believe there is an anointing on that message right now that God is saying to everyone that has an ear to hear to behold the Lamb. And not until we each one behold the Lamb of God and are delivered by what we see and what we understand through the eyes of our faith will we ever really experience the blessing. By the way, have you ever heard people talk about blind faith, blind faith? You know, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as blind faith in the economy of God. The Bible says that the eyes of our faith, faith has eyes, folks, and real faith will always see what the natural eye cannot see. Real faith has eyes. Blind faith is a pseudo faith. It's not real faith. Faith has eyes. It sees into the spiritual dimension what God wants to get done. Hallelujah. And may the eyes of your faith be widened more than ever before. Don't operate in blind faith. Operate in faith that has eyes to see. And this is a blessing. So let's get back to Romans, because what we've been talking about is behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when your sin and my sin is taken away in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that means the devil has no legal ground to our lives. That means that sickness, disease, poverty, mental health issues, soulical bondage, generational curses, none of that can remain in the life of a believer who has beheld the Lamb. Now, maybe you or I have beheld the Lamb afar off, and we know a little bit about it. We understand a little bit through the eyes of our understanding. But remember what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may comprehend with all saints what is the riches of his glory. So comprehension, illumination, enlightenment, these all come from an apprehension of what Christ is and what Christ has accomplished. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he was seeing into that moment that the Lamb of God would be slain from the foundations of the world. And why was he slain? Why was God presenting a lamb, the Lamb of God, his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua the Messiah? Why did God do this? Well, the Apostle Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 4, verse 23. And here's what it says. This is Romans 4, 23. "Now, it was not written for his sake alone," speaking about Abraham, "that it was imputed to him," speaking of his faith. We should go through this whole thing. Well, let's do that. Let's go to verse 18. I think it'll make a little more sense. Verse 18 says, speaking about Abraham, "who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." He considered not. That is a revelatory word as well. To not consider the condition of things is a proof that faith is there. Okay? So he did not consider his own body now dead. He just didn't consider it. And you cannot consider that disease that's in your body, that sickness in your body, that infirmity in your body, that generational curse in your body. You can't consider the condition that you're in, that broken relationship. You cannot consider any of that, because faith sees beyond the condition. And for Abraham, it said that he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, he went into Sarah by faith. He did not consider his old age or her dead womb, as though that's what men say. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not stagger and just go for it, but having unbelief down inside, but was strong in faith, listen, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, that's you and I, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now listen, who was delivered, crucified on the cross for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was delivered to the cross, to the crucifixion, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, because of our offenses against God. You see, we offended God. Each one of us in our lives, whether we knew it or not, the fact of the matter remains. We offended our Creator. And that's what sin does. Sin is an offense against our Creator. Jesus died for our offenses, for our sins. But the good news is that he was raised again for our justification. Now, what is that justification? What does that mean? That means that you have been justified to live the life that God has called you into. That the sin and the offense you committed against God was no longer held against you. There is no guilt, shame, or condemnation to paralyze you. This is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that justification is unto life, so that you can live within the context of an abundant life, the enjoyment of the life that is in God, that is in Christ, that is in the Holy Spirit, that you have been justified, you have been authorized, you have been sealed. You have been allowed, you have been pardoned, you have been given the spiritual right to live the abundant life in Christ. In other words, to fulfill your purpose, your calling, and your destiny without the heavy weight of guilt, shame, and condemnation. This is a very powerful thing that God has done for you and I, because a lot of people are trying to live, you know, an abundant life, but they're still carrying the heavy weights of their past, emotionally, mentally, soulically. And yet the blood of Christ has paid the price so deeply, but not until people behold the Lamb of God will they ever realize how free they really are from those spiritual bondages, those invisible chains, those mental breakdowns, that knotted up spiritual condition that they've been in. He has come to loose the bondage. He has come to break the chains. He has come to open the prison doors and set the captives free. There's no doubt about this. And that comes through a proper beholding of the Lamb of God. What I want to do is I want to share a little song with you right now. And when we come back, I'm going to get into a little bit more prophecy, but I want this to just get into your spirit right now. Okay. I want this to get into your spirit. So just sit back and enjoy just for a moment.
Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb.
And amen. Can somebody shout hallelujah out there today? Praise the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. Again, do you hear the call? John was saying it in John chapter 1. Behold the Lamb of God. What was he saying? See. He was saying, look. He was saying, perceive. Look into, peer into this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Folks, it doesn't get any richer than that, for therein is our faith revealed. That's what we center on. We center on the Lamb of God. We are called to behold the Lamb of God because that Lamb is our victory. The Lamb is our release. The Lamb is our redemption. The Lamb's blood has been shed. It's never going to be shed again. You know that, and I know that. It has been shed for you and for me, and it's time to get a revelation and a beholding of the Lamb of God with a proper mindset so that the bondages must give way to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, what was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It must be done. And so this idea that people are sitting in churches broke, busted, and disgusted is not an apprehension or a beholding of the blood. The beholding of the blood is your intrinsic value. It's what you take all the way in on the inside of you. And that blood is an atonement on the very altar of your heart in the mercy seat of God in the Holy of Holies. It is where redemption resides. It's where the outbreak of a new life begins. It is the dawning of a new day. It is time for the saints of God to arise and shine, for their light has come. I don't know how the Spirit of God will take this revelation into your heart and mind, but may He do it for each one of us so that we can experience the breaking free of all the house of bondage, that Egyptian labor camp, that slave mindset, that slavery, that bondage of a people who did not know who they were. Well, God knew who they were. They were the very covenant seed of Abraham. 430 years earlier, God had covenanted with his servant and friend Abraham about a seed. And there they were, the very covenanted people that God foreknew, and yet they thought they were slaves. They were in the house of bondage. They didn't have a clue until God began to visit Moses and raise him up and say, I'm going to bring my people out. What was God bringing out of the bondage? He was bringing out something that belonged to him. And I'm telling you, if you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, then according to Galatians chapter 3, you are the seed, you are the children of Abraham, and the covenant promises that were made to him are going to be fulfilled in your life, and yet you're under a better covenant with better promises because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, God does not want your life in a wreck. He does not want your life being diseased. He does not want you. Hey, listen, you don't have to be rich with the material things to experience the blessing of God. You can experience the blessing of God with the health that has been promised through by his stripes you are healed. You can be mentally fit. You can have a clear conscience. You can have exactly what you need and be content with what you have at any level and experience the blessing of God in your life, the love of Christ for you, the joy of the Lord. Yes, you should be partaking of something that your neighbors are witnessing, and they're going, what is it that you have? Why do you have peace in the midst of all this chaos and confusion? Why do you have laughter? Why do you have hope? Why are you inspired when everything around us is falling apart and darkness is coming and fear and all these things are taking place? What is it about you? And ladies and gentlemen, that is the reality we are to be partaking of. Christ paid for you to live an abundant life, to experience a quality of life that is regardless of your condition. Again, remember, faith does not consider the condition of being 100 years old or a dead womb. Faith does not live that way. And the beholding of the Lamb must be the beholding through the eyes of your faith. And I tell you, when you look at what Christ has done, the Lamb of God has accomplished, and knowing that he did it 2,000 years ago, he's never going to do it again. He's not in a grave anymore. He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession for you and I. He did it. It is finished. That's what he cried out. That's what he cried out. Oh, I am so excited and blessed about the moments that we are living in. I want to praise the Lord. And now I want to share something with you. I want to talk to you just for a moment. Again, don't get me wrong here. I understand what's going on in the news. I know what's going on in the world. There's a lot of stuff happening. But, you know, we got to get in on what God is doing right now. And so I want to read to you a prophecy that was written some time ago, and it was titled Triumphant Christ. And I want you to hear these words carefully, because I believe there's a pearl in this, okay? There's something here for you. Everything, that's a big word, everything that does not conform to the order of Christ will be destroyed in the coming destruction. Do I have scripture reference for that? Absolutely. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. Oh, yeah. So again, everything, including what's in us, I'm telling you, what's in us, everything that does not conform to the order of Christ will be destroyed, coming destruction. Christ will not be set aside as an afterthought or as a leader of a weak religion. The military might of men will pale at his presence as he comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Every believer must awake to the reality that anything, whether it be sickness, disease, debt, sin, bondage, curses, or any other thing that does not yield to his will and purpose is but an illusion from the powers of darkness whose strength is in their deception. See, again, every believer must awake to this understanding, this reality, this truth. Anything of sickness, disease, debt, sin, bondage, curses is nothing but an illusion. Wake up to that reality. Don't consider those things. The militant, triumphant church must arise to her destiny in this hour. and become the glorious bride without spot and wrinkle she has been called to be. Do you believe that you are part of the militant, triumphant church? And the word church is ecclesia. And in this setting, the word ecclesia is not talking about an organized religious structure, but a people who have been called out of the world into kingdom and into Christ. And the militant, triumphant church, the military power of God in the earth, no soldier of Christ entangles himself with the things of this world, said Timothy to, or Paul to Timothy. The militant, triumphant church must arise to her destiny in this hour. Now is the time, and become the glorious bride without spot and wrinkle. It is the, and I quote, as he is, so are we in this world hour. See, that was a word of knowledge. And that's in 1 John. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what he's looking for. Now are we the children of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he appeareth, we shall be like him. Remember? And as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus was a huios. He was a mature son of God. He was not a technon, a little child. And what he's looking for is an image of himself to manifest in this earth. And that can only come through the ecclesia, the called out ones, the bride of Jesus Christ. But this is the hour that God wants to bring forth. We talked about Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. And we talked about how these feasts are connected to the agricultural economy of God. But that's not an external thing anymore. That's internal. That means that we begin with the glory of Passover. We go on to the glory of Pentecost. And then we show up into the glory of tabernacles, which is going from glory to glory to glory. From the outer courts to the inner court to the Holy of Holies, from the faith realm to the hope realm to the love realm, to the 30-fold to the 60-fold to the 100-fold. And it just goes on and on, okay? And so we're living in a moment where God is looking for something, and I want to continue. The people of God must realize that there will be a harvest of righteousness in the earth. There is a 100-fold harvest of the divine nature that is coming forth within a people who have allowed the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to perform and accomplish his work in their lives through the purging fires of tribulation and trial. A manifested form shall be revealed to the Adamic race. The walking dead of Adam's race will realize that there is another species walking in the earth. This is what Adam has feared all his days, that one would come mightier than himself. That mightier one is the new creation species birthed from the womb of Christ. It is not aliens and outer space beings Adam is terrified of and wondering about, but a species of man walking right in the midst of him that has not been seen for nearly 2,000 years. The first of this kind of man was Jesus the Christ. He is the firstborn and the beginning of the new creation of God. It is this new man, this born-again man, that is about to take over the earth, and Adam knows that this takeover is near. The fear of Adam has led him to believe that his enemy was his neighbor, and due to the change of color or culture, wars have been determined. Yet the invisible enemy of Adam is the second man from heaven who came to bring Adam to the grave. Yes, Jesus Christ came to destroy the first man, Adam. Yet, in the genius of God, the destruction of Adam is his perfect salvation. Now, what are we talking about here? You and I know that as believers, we are to die to our self nature. And that self nature is rooted in the Adamic nature. We're told to put off the old man, to put on the new man. So everything in the economy of the new covenant is to get rid of that first Adam nature. All right, so this is not a terrible thing unless you're Adam and you don't have a new nature in you. If you're born again, you have another nature living on the inside of you, and that is the nature of the second man from heaven, Jesus Christ. The first man came from the earth. The second man came from heaven. There are two men in the earth. There is Adam and there is Christ. Come on. This is good news. So the death of Adam is a very good thing. It's not the negative thing. Now, we're not talking about a nuclear bomb going off in the city and a bunch of flesh being killed. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that death. We're talking about the death of the nature, the burial of the nature. That's why it says in Romans chapter 6, if we have been buried with Christ, we shall rise with him in the newness of life. And what has been buried with Christ? When Christ died on the cross and was buried, we were dead with him and buried with him. Who? The old Adam, the old nature. You have an old nature and you have a new nature if you're born again, and they're wrestling against one another. But God gives the Holy Spirit to empower the new nature to get the victory over the old nature. Now, continuing on in the Word. Many have had a wrong perception of Christ. Many have thought him to be a soft and comfortable Christ, as though he would conform to their image or our own. Yet the truth cries out that everything that does not conform to his image and likeness will be destroyed and perish forever. You see, religion tries to bring God into its experience. Religion tries to bring Christ to become like us, to accept us, to tolerate us. But truth is that everything that does not complement him and become like him and raise to the standard of who he is will not enter into the kingdom. It'll literally be destroyed. Christ will not play second fiddle to anything or anyone. And every second that destruction does not hit this planet is only the continued mercy of God being extended to a lost and dying world. Hear these words, for they are the words of God. Every moment that passes without destruction upon the United States is but another moment of God's divine mercy. This mercy shall come to an end in God's perfect time. Prophetically, we can say that the day of salvation is drawing to a close. The door is about to shut. We just do not know when. But the Spirit has spoken and has warned and has clearly defined the coming storm and judgment upon the unrepentant nations. Adam is about to meet his Maker in a way he would have never imagined. It is the love of the believer that must take advantage of every moment while there is time to reach out to Adam's race and bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord of the new creation race. Rather than believers slamming believers because of what church they go to or what denomination they are or what their particular theology or end time eschatology may be, instead should be going into all the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one church, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism, one Father, the one true church made up of true believers around the world will be readily manifested in the days ahead. Oh, yes, it's coming. The wheat and the tares growing together. Do not worry about identifying the counterfeit, for that is a distraction to your purpose. Jesus said in his parable of the wheat and the tares to let them grow together until the harvest. Stop trying to figure out which blade is wheat from chaff in its immature state. Time will tell and reveal the truth. you must go forth and preach the gospel now because the time is short. Do not be lulled to sleep with the prevailing atmosphere that everything is going to be all right. Everything will not be all right. You hear the unredeemed saying all the time, no worries, no fear. These statements are spoken to build a wall of protection. However, Adam is not safe. The only safe place to be at this time is under the blood. What a timely word, again, that was written. I wrote that back in 2006, I believe. And here we are again, 12 years down the road. And to be under the blood, Passover is tomorrow night. And you talk about getting under the blood, man, there it is. So that's where I want it to be for right now. I'm going to open the telephone lines. And if you have any questions or comments, I want to invite you to join the broadcast today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. And we're going to just press one on your dial pad. I'll bring you into the program. And what a moment of just saying good morning to everybody that is listening on the computer. Maybe you're listening by your iPhone or an iPad. You're not called into the Blog Talk number, but you're listening on OmegaRadio.org. And the numbers are telling us that we have a tremendous listenership over in Syria. Can you believe that? And in Russia and in the Middle East and in Africa, we are getting into the South America. The number of people that are tuning in by mechanisms of internet, and that's the glory of the internet. I mean, we talk about all the bad stuff going on, but the good news is through the internet, messages like these and the ones you're going to hear afterwards, and here we are, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, broadcasting to the ends of the earth this glorious moment of time that we are in, and each and every one of us should be excited about being alive at this time and allowing the blood of Jesus to break the curses, to protect us from the storms that are coming, and to realize that there is a development of the growth and character of Christ in us, that we are working out a salvation that is glorious altogether. The number to call, 818-369-0326. We're waiting for your call. Press 1 on the dial pad. We've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast, so we'd be more than happy to receive your calls. Press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll hear from you. It's good that we're having this conversation. We're a day and a half away from the great celebration of Passover. We're going to be having a Seder dinner at New Wine Ministries, and we're looking forward, and we are excited to the gathering together that we're going to experience. So how has today's message impacted your life? Have you heard anything? Was there a pearl in your understanding that was brought to you? Did you see something of value in the broadcast today? We're going to take our first call coming from South Dakota, our dear friends Ken and Kathy Bruns. Good morning. How are both of you?
Fine, and we're on the road, and I am sorry we didn't get to hear any of your message today due to some factors that we were when we were driving here. But my question today is not totally, I don't even know what you talked about, but we were wondering now, what is the temperature there today?
That's a great question. Well, today it's cold and cloudy, and do you know they actually said, someone told me that there was going to be snow on Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. So I'm not sure. Let me give you a more accurate report. Right now, the exact temperature here in Northwest Arkansas, let me get over here, Bella Vista. We have 49 degrees and it's raining. We have 100% chance of rain. Right now it's cloudy, but 100% chance of rain at 10 a.m., which is right around now. And then Friday, tomorrow, is going to be sunny, 62 degrees. And then on the forecast here, sunny and 62 tomorrow. That's awesome. And then Saturday, we have 66 degrees, but rainy. And then Sunday, they have it cloudy at 41 with a low of 37. But then it goes back up into the 60s. For the remainder of the week, but a little overcast, a little cloudy, you know, April showers, May flowers, but that's it. So tomorrow's going to be one of the great days.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, we're coming out here. We're only 100 miles from our home right now, so we're going to try to get to Springfield, Missouri tonight. But anyway, the situation is we're leaving snowbanks here, and it's 29 degrees.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
We'll be glad to see a little green grass and stuff. And we'll see you probably on we won't be able to come and to your place, I mean to the New Wine Ministries there, until Saturday evening we'll come to that service. Okay.
Okay.
But whatever you talked about today, praise the Lord, I suppose I'll have to pick it up on the archives or something on my iPad later.
Yes, I hope you'll do that, and we'll look forward to seeing you and Ken on Saturday. Stay safe under the blood of Jesus. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys and looking in your eyes once again, giving big hugs. God bless you in your journeys.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the blessing. Ken and Kathy, keep them in your prayers. Again, we've got about 4 minutes left in the broadcast. Perhaps you heard something today that has been a benefit to you, or maybe something you'd like to develop in thought or conversation. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And, man, I trust that this broadcast today is going to strengthen God's people and equip you and prepare you and to enlighten you and to inform you and to, you know, really get things moving in the right direction in your day so that you can put on, you know, that armor of God. You could take up the shield of faith. You can move forward in the economy of God. And remember, if you are calling in, you need to press 1 on the dial pad so I know that you're wanting to share in the broadcast, and I'll make sure to bring you right in. And there's nothing like moving forward. And what a time. Everything that I heard and everything that I believe the Holy Spirit ministered today is all about an equipping for the saints living in the last days, the salvation of souls, the hour is late, the being conformed into the image of Christ. There is just so much that God is saying. And I believe that he's just wanting to download on so many people that are out there. And he's just wanting to overwhelm people with the revelation. And I have to believe we're scratching the proverbial surface here of what God wants to do and his desire to accelerate his purpose in the last days. And so this is what it's all about. And I have a friend that used to say, listen, don't worry. Whatever doesn't get in you will get on you, and whatever gets on you will eventually get in you. You're going to have an aha experience one day down the road. You're going to understand the purpose of God for your life in these days. It's more than just a physical experience that you and I are dealing with. We have been called to an eternal life, and we have living on the inside of us right now the eternal Spirit of God. Imagine that. The eternal Spirit of God is living on the inside of you and I. Now, before I turn the microphone over, I want to share one more time a beautiful song this moment, and I want it to be this choir as we go out. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier. Enjoy.
Maranatha, I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Now, I would like to explain Maranatha and why I greeted you in that manner. In the early days of the church, the Christians would meet one another with the word Maranatha. And what that meant was, He is risen. And that was their greatest joy, because without the resurrection, there is no true Christianity. It is what it was all about, that He has risen. And do you know that even in the Old Testament, it talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? For instance, some have argued that the doctrine of a bodily resurrection was unknown to the Israelites of the Old Testament. In fact, this denial was a cardinal doctrine of the sect of the Sadducees at the time of Christ. You can read about it in Matthew 22:23. But in the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:19, it reads like this: Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Can you imagine that we live our life, you know, every day with this idea that we are saved? Praise God. More is there. The greatest part of our living and our life as Christians is in the resurrection, that you and I are going to be resurrected. And it makes it clear that this promise has always been known to the people of God, long before Isaiah's time. Job had said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and in my flesh shall I see God. Job 19:25-26. After the time of Isaiah, the promise was still known. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In Daniel 12:2, such promises were not referring to some vague immortality of the soul, like so many Christians have a concept and idea of, as taught in pagan religions, but to the resurrection of the physical body. But first, however, the Creator, man, died for the sins of the world and defeat death by his own bodily resurrection. And in the scripture, Christ is saying that the Old Testament believers would be raised together with my dead body. This was literally fulfilled when the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints that were slept arose from the grave and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That is an eyewitness of what took place at that time. And that's in Matthew 27:52-53. And then when Jesus first ascended to heaven in John 20:17, he led those who had been in captivity in the grave with him into heaven. Every promise has been fulfilled, body. Every promise has been fulfilled in Christ. All who have trusted Christ in the Christian era will likewise be raised from the dead when he comes again. He has defeated death and has promised, because I live, you shall live also. What an incredible, wonderful experience for anybody who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in John 14:19. But you know, there is a fire of hell. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among all members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of their lives. Now, holy brethren, you and I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And that's exactly what took place right now. Why am I bringing this up? Because deliverance is the call of God's heart. He desires to deliver us in every way. Even now, in our mortal bodies, there should be an outlay of the resurrection in our life. We should live the resurrected life even now. We don't have to wait. But so many has been taught by the error of theological schools of teaching that it's impossible. And it's not. It is not impossible to live a resurrected life here and now. Even Paul the Apostle brought it up to us that it was a life that we should be living. And there are ways that this can be done through the gifts that we have been given. And in the process of deliverance, there is the need to make sure that the Holy Spirit gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit together is working in that person's life that has been delivered from an evil spirit, because their house must be filled, or else the enemy will come in with seven times more stronger than himself, and the first condition will be better than the last. No, I got that turned around. The condition will be worse than it ever has been before. So these gifts that I just brought up are for the benefit of the church, for they are mighty in pulling down of Satan's strongholds. And when the enemy returns to his house and starts looking and appearing and seeing it empty, he'll come in. But if it's filled with the Holy Spirit of God in gifts and in fruit, it is going to benefit to such a degree that that enemy of your soul that has been persecuting you will be out of your life forever, will not return with seven more. If the head of the house is watching. And what a beautiful picture of the weapons given to us as soldiers of the cross and of the power of Christ within us. You see, these gifts and fruit are the development of that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the development of the character of Jesus Christ within you and I. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment to do great exploits. You know what? That begins to look like Jesus, doesn't it? He was filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and he was empowered to do great miracles. But quite often, Christians find out that the gifts were hindered from coming forth because there was a need for deliverance. And when they are delivered, the gifts begin to flow through them with much greater faith. Oh, I'm telling you, it is so important that we be delivered from every bondage, every vexation, and in the name of Jesus Christ, it will be done. And there is still another aspect of Christ that the person who has received deliverance must be filled with. And it is called, as I mentioned earlier, the fruits of the Spirit. Why am I bringing up the fruits of the Spirit? These fruits must be developed within you and I. And they are developed by the watering of the Word of God through the revealed knowledge of the Holy Spirit that I'm speaking to you about. And simply put, it is reading knowing, and acting upon God's instructions. It is important for you and I to note that the fruits of the Spirit are not a free gift, as are the nine gifts of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? The fruits are earned by the believer's persistence in making correct decisions and choices. Now, the gift of salvation was given freely, absolutely freely, but the fruits are earned by the believer. And that believer, you and I, must persist in making correct decisions and choices, accomplished asking and receiving from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here as a paraclete to help us to make these correct decisions and choices. And then by continuing to abide in righteousness according to the scriptures, be ye righteous as I am righteous, saith the Lord. Now here's my maintaining thought, and I don't hear it often. Both the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, these are marvelous characteristics of God. And they will work in your life, in my life, and produce maturity, completeness, and perfection. Now, you may back off of perfection. You may say, okay, with maturity, okay, with completeness. But perfection, in the Greek, the word perfection means maturity and completeness. So don't back off of it, because the Lord says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye mature. Be ye complete as I am. And through the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation and the working out of salvation, through the maturing of the fruits of the Spirit, the overcoming Christian, you and I, will keep our eternal deliverance. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. The fruit is not produced by any independent action of you or I, or by self-effort from you or I. We can't produce peace, joy, and so on of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us that does so. Now, we may think we can, and this is where we go wrong. We may even try in our own strength. But body, let me tell you, at the end result of trying to be peaceful and joyful and loving in your own strength will only end up in a result of failure. You will always feel like a failure. And you will be, because you're looking to yourself, which is not great enough, big enough to get this job done. And that's what the world does in general. For those who want to be good, they try to do good works, but it will never bring them into the overcoming resurrected life that God has promised us and has given us through Jesus Christ. And what else will happen is every time we fail, we suffer from a feeling of unworthiness and low self-esteem because we're trying to get all these things done in the flesh and we can't. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to do so. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God operating in our lives. And He is our paraclete. He is our friend. He is the light to all that we need to know and to understand. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is our director. And when we depend on Him to be filled with the love and joy of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit takes root, tries to grow magnificently within us if we will allow it. But we have to allow Him and to rely on Him to do it, to ask Him to do it, to pray that He does it, and continue to believe that he is doing it. Now, on the contrary of a low self-esteem, which I don't want, and I'm sure you don't want, if you choose to abide in Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit cannot fail to be produced in you. Come on now. Did you hear what I said to you? If you rely on Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit cannot fail to be produced in you if you choose to abide in him. And the ability to produce rather than to fail comes from abiding in the vine, Jesus. But the empowerment to do so is by the Holy Spirit. It's a working together. And the key is to abide. Abiding in the vine means staying connected to the root, who is Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that the life of Christ, the anointing, can flow into the branch, the believer, you and I, and produce great and mighty fruit. Sound like a plan? A good idea? I think it's incredible. And it could be done. Don't hold back. Don't try to be a powerhouse in your own strength. It isn't going to work. You're going to look like somebody filled with pride. Don't do it. Rely on the Holy Spirit in a spirit of humility to work these things out in you. Ask him. Let him be your best friend. Jesus is your best friend, but the Holy Spirit is also a dear and workable friend in your life. Now you may say, okay, that sounds great, but how do I abide in Jesus? How do I get this to work? The answer is by keeping his commandments. And you might say, well, wait a minute. That's Old Testament. I can't keep that commandment. Yes, you can. If you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit has entered into your heart, your life, abler, the Holy Spirit, he will be able to cause you to love. And what is the greatest commandment of all that takes in within it all the commandments of the ten is to love. It wraps it all up. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Think about it. Learn to love this wonderful Father of ours. Learn to love our wonderful Christ who gave his life as a man on earth to show us how to walk this life in a perfect manner. Gave us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in which we have now to walk and live and have our being. Learn to rely on them for love. If you're having a hard time loving, say, Lord, shed your love abroad in my heart that I may love you with all of my being, all of my mind, all of my soul. And then love my neighbor as myself. It can't be done unless you love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, whatever you would do for you, do for them. That's love. Whatever you desire for you, do for them. That's love. But you would be empowered to do so with love shed abroad in your heart by the working of the Holy Spirit when you ask the Father to shed that love abroad in your heart. Then, and only then, will you be able to begin to love your neighbor as yourself. But there's another quirker here. Do you love yourself? Or do you feel unworthy? Do you feel and have a low self-esteem? Do you feel like a failure? You know what you're telling me? You don't love God. You don't love your neighbor and you don't love yourself. Because if you feel these this way, it's impossible to love God and to love your neighbor. Now, you may argue with me about that, and I'll be willing to stir the pot with you. But you must love God first with all your heart, soul, and mind. And it isn't a hard thing to do when you realize what he has done for you in giving his only begotten son to us to die for us and then to resurrect so that we may be resurrected for eternity in the most glorious, wonderful way that you can't even imagine. And it could start right now. What a gift. He gave his only begotten son. Now, what do I mean by begotten? He himself came on earth as a man. God himself came on earth as a man, born to a virgin, so there was no bloodline curses. But he still had to work out his salvation. He still had to overcome things on this earth as a man, not as God, but as a man, to show us the way that it can be done. And how can it be done? Because when he resurrected, he sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to get it done. And who is that Spirit? The Spirit of the Father, God himself within us, the Holy Spirit. We can't lose. It's impossible. But do we have faith to believe this? Do we understand that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, patience, is what we are to walk in to be a perfect man? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be complete. Be mature. The way to do so is for these fruits to develop in you, and they will develop in you by the character of the Holy Spirit working in you to be enlightened unto the character of Jesus Christ. We have a way. So the key is to abide. Abiding in the vine means staying connected to Yeshua, Jesus the root, Christ, so that the life of Christ can flow into the branch, you and I, and produce fruit. Just like a tree, aren't we? Living trees. Wasn't Jesus Christ the tree of life? We are the branches. Keeping his commandment of love, the scripture teaches us that by abiding in Jesus and keeping his commandments, we love God. When we obey his commandments to love, we abide in Jesus and have fellowship with God. And we obtain the fruit of his love. And ultimately, his joy and his peace will follow. You have no idea, and either do I yet, what it's like to really walk in peace. To have absolutely no concerns because you trust in your Lord in everything. This is the warfare to take the kingdom by force that we have. To walk in his peace. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of peace was put upon him so that we may have peace. And with that is great joy. You see, his joy, his peace will follow. And when we are disobedient, we keep ourselves from the love of God. Not that God doesn't love us. We keep ourselves from that great love to be able to receive it because we're thinking we're unworthy. We're believing that we're failures. We have such low esteem and therefore we're not overcomers. We're not the great light of the world. We're not salt of the world. We can't be under those circumstances. When we are disobedient, we keep ourselves from the love of God. Not that he doesn't love us no matter what this situation is. We are keeping ourselves from it. And Satan has gained a right to enter in. If Satan finds the believer's house filled with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter in. Do you understand what I'm trying to present? Praise God if you do. This is where we have to be. This is the predestined position of man in the will of God. And it all is surrounded by the power of the resurrection, in which we are going to celebrate Sunday. We will celebrate the resurrection. We will also celebrate Passover, because sin has been delivered from us. The blood of Jesus, the crucifixion, has caused us to pass over from the condition of the world into the condition of eternal existence and into the Spirit of the living God. So that's Passover. We put the blood over our heart, just like the blood was put over the lintel of the house of the people of Israel when they were in bondage in Israel. We have been in bondage in the world, and now we receive the blood placed over our hearts, this type and shadow, the symbol, to enter into an overcoming, magnificent life, and to be delivered from the world and its ways and its system, which stinks, quite frankly, into the glorious light of truth and beauty and the aroma of life itself. Why is it that so many push against this glorious gift we have been granted? Because there's a real demonic presence, Satan himself, who hates God and would hate God within you, who would try to destroy, who would try to kill, who would try to bring the world back into your life. And your old nature that you used to have, that brought nothing but sorrow to you, nothing but a spirit of unworthiness, low self-esteem, unless, of course, you rear yourself up with your arrogant pride, which will one day end up destroying you anyway. You can't win that way. You could only win one way, and that is in the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit sent to us when he resurrected from the dead, given to all who will receive. And what a glorious thing that happens when we do. We become delivered, literally delivered from every vexation, bondage of Satan himself, which operates in this world in a way that is overpowering without the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. Tomorrow, we will talk more about this. It's getting more exciting as we get closer and closer to the celebration of Passover and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're invited to come to this wonderful, wonderful celebration, which will be at our church, New Wine Ministry, in Bella Vista, Arkansas. God bless you. You are loved and glory.